Welcome to the Compliance 911 Show, a no-nonsense podcast discussing hot topics for today's busy compliance professional. It's everything you wanted to know about regulatory compliance, but we're afraid to ask. And now, here are your hosts, Dean Stockford of M&M Consulting and Len Susio of GeoData Vision.
Dean, it's hard to believe we are on our 70th and 71st episodes of our Compliance 911 show. So what interesting topic do you bring to the audience today?
Well, good morning, Len. And I agree, we've come a long way since we floated the idea probably more than 3 years ago. We've touched on more than 21 different topics over 69 episodes so far, with tremendous insight into new rules such as Dodd-Frank's 1071, as well as CRA.
Good. Well, so it sounds to me like you're going to be talking about those two new rules today. Let's jump right into the topic.
Yeah, thanks, Len. And I'm going to, actually touch on what I would consider some of the hot topics that we'll be facing in 2024. So I'm going to give the folks that 40,000 foot view of those regulatory areas that we view as being hot topics. As you know, we have had final rules on CRA and 1071, which we've covered extensively, but I will discuss the current state today along with other areas of focus.
Well, I think that's a great idea, Dean. Let's go ahead.
All right. So let's jump right in. I mean, the first hot topic is CRA, and I think that everybody can certainly agree with that. The new rules were issued in October of 2023, and they mean big changes for banks. Some of those areas, just to highlight, asset threshold changes, new retail lending test, assessment area delineation issues, new retail lending assessment area, new retail services and product test, new community development financing test, new community development services test. I'm sure this is like music to Len's ears. He's a CRA guru. So, but the above, only touches on some of those key changes. However, in February of 2024, the ABA and other banking associations actually sued federal regulators over the implementation. The groups asked the court to vacate the rules. So they also will seek a preliminary injunction pausing the new rules while the court decides the merits of the case. In my opinion, this has some real teeth. So the associations may be successful in their suit. And you and I have had some dialogue on this many times. And in addition to the CRA rule, Dodd-Frank's 1071 rules became effective in March of 2023. In Section 1071 of Dodd-Frank amended ECOA, as we know it, the Equal Credit Opportunity Act, to require financial institutions to compile, maintain, and submit to the Bureau certain data on applications for credit in women-owned, minority-owned, and small businesses. A lawsuit was also filed against the CFPB. However, I believe that a vast majority of the lawsuit was focused on the legitimacy and the authority of the CFPB as opposed to challenges to the actual law itself. But before I jump into any additional hot topics for 2024, as I indicated, Len, you and I have had a lot of dialogue, and I know you've spent endless hours reviewing not only the new rules, but also the lawsuits themselves. And so I'd love to have, your opinion on the lawsuits. In addition, what should financial institutions do while they're in the waiting game, I guess you could say, on those outcomes?
Well, Dean, you certainly gave me a challenge. I could talk for the next 2 hours about both those lawsuits, but I'm going to keep it brief because this is your recording today. So regarding 1071, I think there's two big aspects of the litigation. One is the litigation challenges the funding of the CFPB, which has been charged by Congress with the responsibility to implement Section 1071. And of course, that's right in front of the Supreme Court as we are recording this session today at the end of February of 2024. The other big aspect of that litigation challenges the authority of the CFPB itself with respect to its interpretation of the statute and what data is mandated to be collected. In the statute itself, there was something like 7 or 8 major fields of information that were specifically identified in the law. But when the CFPB got its hands on this thing, It was given the authority to expand that to other fields of information that would be important to the purpose of Section 1071. And the board, the Bureau, I should say, took on that challenge with glee and gusto because they took those 7 or 8 fields and expanded it to 81 fields. And the lawsuit itself that challenges 1071 does say that they exceeded their authority by not going from 7 or 8 fields to 10 or 11, but from 7 or 8 fields to 81 fields of information. And I'm not a lawyer, but, you know, that sounds to me like they've got a good rationale for challenging that the Bureau went beyond its statutory authority in mandating all these additional fields to be collected. Regarding the CRA, the Community Reinvestment Act, and the new rule and the litigation that's been commenced and filed in court only, and it was in like mid-February or so, the legal challenges there center around the Administrative Procedures Act and whether the agencies violated the requirements of the Administrative Procedures Act, and certain things like a cost-benefit analysis weren't done. And the lawsuit complains, too, that banks or financial institutions subject to CRA weren't given enough time to respond to the notice of proposed rulemaking before that period of time for comment was ended. The lawsuit also challenges the authority of the agencies to mandate the new assessment areas that are incorporated in the new CRA. What we're referring to are not the facility-based assessment areas. Those are largely the same assessment areas that have existed since 1995 or so, or before. But the challenge is the retail lending assessment areas and the ORLA, the outside retail lending area. And the basis for the litigation is that CRA was focused on re-lending money that was obtained in deposits from the communities that the banks serve. The lawsuit was really originated in Chicago, and Gail Sincotta was the woman who was behind that. And she complained that the banks were taking deposits out of the poor neighborhoods and redlining or avoiding the poor neighborhoods and lending that money into more affluent areas. So, and there's good grounds for that challenge. Even the congressional hearings that were held on the CRA back in 1977, Senator Proxmire, who was the leader of that legislation, made it very clear that this was all intended to compel banks to lend back into the neighborhoods where they had deposit-taking facilities. And for 47 years, that's the way the agencies interpreted it as well. If you had a lot of activity outside your facility-defined assessment area, you couldn't just say, oh, I'm going to annex that county over there, even though we don't have a branch there because we're doing a lot of lending over there. No, you're actually forbidden to do that. So this concept of these two new assessment areas is not only foreign to the concept of CRA, but it's a complete contradiction of the way the agencies themselves have interpreted the regulation for these last 47 years. The other of the element that they're challenging is the mandate for the large banks to collect deposits and the retail lending tests, the retail products and services tests, which includes in the new rule a review of the deposit products that a bank is offering. The entire intent of the Community Reinvestment Act was to focus in on the banks meeting the, quote, the need for credit services in the community they serve. So it was specifically related to loans, not deposits. And that's the other basis for challenging the new rule in the litigation, as I read it, Dean.
Excellent, Len. And I, you know, that's why I always ask, because you always enlighten me. And I just totally appreciate and respect your professional opinions. They're always right on point. And while you started off or prefaced by saying you're not a lawyer, you certainly know how to interpret law better than most lawyers I've ever met. So so kudos to you. And again, thank you for your opinion in that. I really appreciate it. But I probably should also jump in. I know we try to keep these podcasts somewhat short. So let me jump into a few other hot areas for 2024 that we're looking at. Fair Credit Reporting Act changes. So back in September of 2023, the CFPB announced it will begin rulemaking process to expand the reach of fair credit The use of medical information in underwriting, it mandates the removal of that so that it can no longer be used. Broadening definition of community, you can see I got CRA in my mind, but basically consumer reporting agency, just a different type of CRA lens.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Process changes for determining what we call permissible purpose, whereas we would have to have specific written authorization. So these are just a few of the highlights that are contemplated within Fair Credit Reporting Act. Moving on to BSA and customer due diligence, FinCEN rulemaking under AML Improvement Act of 2020 is moving painfully slow. And while we cannot be certain of these changes, what we do know is that changes will be coming. We just don't have any final rules relative to what the regulators will be implementing. So some of the bullet points are customer due diligence on businesses in modifying those practices in a sense with what we call beneficial ownership rules, customer due diligence on private banking type accounts, information sharing practices. How is that done? Whether those will be modified again to hopefully head off any type of not only record-keeping penalty or record-keeping violation, but also to help with combating terrorist financing type issues. Threshold changes, you've heard about it even on the news where they've talked about the cash in and cash out that exceeds $10,000 in a single day and modifying that threshold. Hasn't been done yet, but those are the things that are being contemplated, so there's a lot more to come. Another area, automated valuations rules. That's been, appraisals or evaluations. That's been a really huge area. And in June of 2023, the agencies issued a joint proposal for QC standards concerning AVMs. And the basics call for higher standards. So policy changes and procedural enhancements and controls over the review process need to be enhanced. And these are really for those folks that are trying to get reevaluations or what we call reconsiderations of value. And that's where a vast majority of the concerns are embedded. I could go on and on, but these podcasts are intended to be brief and informative. So I'll just list a few other areas, obviously, because I know that we're up against the clock, but fair lending and redlining initiatives, holy smokes, it's a major, major area. Was in 2023, or I should say, was in 2021 when they announced the redlining initiative and still is today. And I don't see them letting up on the gas pedal in that area. The FDIC official sign to reflect digital channels like websites and other mobile applications. Again, changes that are in front of us there. The alternative mortgage disclosures for construction lending, what are those going to look like? And when will those rules be implemented? RESPA and mortgage servicing rules, and then penalties for credit card and late fees. So again, I'm trying to get it all in quickly. There's a lot coming at us. That just touches on a few of the hot areas for 2024. So again, I thank people for tuning in today.
Well, Dean, you certainly identified an extensive list of regulatory hot topics, and I am certain that we're going to discuss them in more detail in later podcasts as the year proceeds, as the year 2024 proceeds. These are great topics and of great interest to our listeners from the banking community, and I'm looking forward to future podcasts regarding each one of these topics. So, Dean, thank you very much for all this great information. To our audience, this is Len Suzio from Geodata Vision.
And this is Dean Stockford from M&M Consulting saying thank you for listening to today's podcast. And please let us know of any additional topics you'd like to hear in future episodes.
Thanks for listening to the Compliance 911 Show. If you like the podcast, be sure to subscribe so you don't miss an episode. While you're at it, please give us a like and review to help others find the show. As always, links are in the show notes, and you can always find us online at compliance911show.com. Follow M&M Consulting and Geodata Vision on LinkedIn for all the latest news and information on compliance hot topics.